praying over this last season. For these first 90 days of 2011, we're going to be preaching and sharing ideas. I'm going to try to start the backdrop and the foundation today. But I really felt like the Lord started speaking to me back in November about Matthew 16 and how when it says they came into a region that he asked him, who do men say that I am? And I really believe the Lord started highlighting that thing, region. So many times we think of our own life personally. We don't even hardly think outside of our own life. We're so navel-gazing, and I really believe that's what has affected the American church. We so navel-gaze our own situations and our circumstances, we rarely even look at our neighbor next door to us. God wants us to grow and get a revelation that he thinks, number one, he thinks you individually, but the Father sent his Son for the world. Can I tell you that's global thinking? I really want you to stir your heart up to think more than just about all of your little needs. And God loves, just like she shared out of Matthew 6, he knows all of the hairs on our head. That's amazing he can keep up with my follicle challenges. That's how incredible God is, that he knows all the, he can number all the hairs on our head. But he thinks globally. Now, you've really got to get this. Thank you, Gwen, for getting that. We so many times think about us. God thinks about us individually, but thinks globally. God wants to take you to where you know that he's going to meet your needs, but he wants to start teaching you and training you how to think globally. Your global is your family. Globally is your neighborhood. Globally is where you work. It's the city you're in. In fact, in 2010, did you pray more for yourself or more for your city? Church, we've been so much praying about us, me, my, and all of my needs. God wants to take us to where we start praying for our cities. Jesus walks into a region and says, who do men say that I am? God wants to take us into the regions to where he wants to give us influence to see his kingdom come into that region and see it transformed. If Christians in this nation would start thinking like this, I mean, we would be busting out buildings and everything else because we would be invading our cities with the fullness of God. Amen? Amen. So in all this, I just want to just kind of paint the backdrop. We may not turn to Matthew 16, but I'm really going to paint the backdrop, I hope. And that's what all of the speakers are going to be sharing on. Pastor Tim, Rhett, our sweet friend from Bent Tree over here, Joanne, she's going to be sharing in this time, as well as others. And we're going to hit this mark to make us think globally, to cause us to think in regions that would just literally bring forth the kingdom of God into our regions. When I was in Cambodia, and I know I've shared this before, but I want to paint the backdrop so that you really get it. So many times we talk about things and then we don't talk about those, but God wants to take the pillar so deep of why Hope Fellowship of North Texas exists. When I was in Cambodia, God started really manifesting this house that we are part of Hope Fellowship of North Texas. But as I've been thinking and meditating over since that happened in the end of February and in the beginning of March, of how the Holy Spirit just started speaking to me of a house that he wanted to birth, of Hope Fellowship of North Texas, of why these pillars exist, of who we are. God started reminding me and revealing to me that even though it just manifested a few months ago, he's been putting divine seeds in me for a long time for this. And I believe God wants us to think not only about 2010, he wants to give us all a revelation of the divine seeds he's been putting in each and every one of us. Paul got a revelation of this when finally, we don't know how old he is. I mean, he's a religious dude. He's persecuting Christians. And then he has an encounter with God on the road to Damascus. And he encounters the living Christ. But he says something later on in Scripture. He says, I was an apostle from my mother's womb. He got a revelation of the divine seed of God that was in him from his mother's womb. You and I carry divine seeds, divine giftings in us from our mother's womb that God put there. So many times, because we're so navel-gazing, we don't see the big picture of God. That He's put gifts and talents and treasures of who He is in each and every one of us. And there comes those times that the Holy Spirit blows on those divine seeds that causes His kingdom to manifest in incredible ways. What you see in this building and the person to your left and right is the Holy Spirit blowing on my life in those divine seeds that He put in me for the last 20 to 25 years. But I understand, like Apostle Paul said, this is who I was in my mother's womb. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? Because if we need to, I want to take time. We'll stay here for 3 hours, 4 hours, until you really get this. Because we have to get how big God is and how visionary He is and how He wants us to get this visionary picture. But what is also cool about this is I've been blessed to have people, as it says in Corinthians, some plant and some water, but God gives the increase. I've had a wonderful wife who has planted those divine seeds in me for the 28 years we've been married, minus the 5 that we were druggies and alcoholics. So I guess that's 23 years of divine seeds being planted in me. And she gets the credit and the fruit of my life and vice versa. You see, again, if we won't navel gaze, we will see all of the beautiful people that God put in our life that paints the picture of His kingdom in our life. See, navel-gazing Christians, the enemy loves that because, again, I don't see the treasures that you put in my life. We really do have to shake off some bad stuff of navel-gazing that the devil has caused to come to the American church. Because you see, as I get older and wiser, it's amazing how that goes together. I understand the treasure that my wife is to my life and the divine seeds of Christ that she has implanted and imparted into my life. And as I've thought over this journey, I started thinking of the divine seeds that my children imparted to me, of how I would see them in ways and what as when they're 6 years old and 7 year olds on mission trips, and seeing the compassion of Ashley, the passion of Jennifer, and the way that Corey just loves to have fun and goof off. But you see, I believe God, and that's as ever been as important as passion and compassion. We're so caught up in being serious and navel-gazing, we forget that God loves to, He's full of joy. He loves to laugh. In fact, it says when He looks at the nations, He laughs when he thinks the enemy's trying to keep Him from His kingdom coming forth. That's what I think of when I think of my son, a son who laughs. Full of joy. Well, then I started thinking at the people in my life, Pastor Terry at Sojourn Church, who imparted a lot about fathering into my life, who imparted truth of the love of the Father. And I started understanding the divine seeds that started manifesting in Cambodia. I look at Pastor Tim over there, did not even know him and Debbie were going to be here. An incredible friend in the kingdom. We're basically the same age, but a spiritual father to my life who was willing to sit down, speak truth and love to me in the areas of our walking together at Sojourn Church for 12 years. For those who do not know it, Pastor Tim, we're part of Fellowship of Connected Churches and Ministries. That's part of our oversight to protect where I don't get out of order, stay in order, and that's a good thing. But also a very close accountability that I have with him. We all need that in our life. But the divine seeds that he imparted to my life. Again, if I don't navel gaze, I see the seeds of destiny that people have put in my life. I don't take credit for what God did in Cambodia. I give him honor, and I give people around me who have imparted and invested into my life kingdom-wise. Is this making sense? Because I believe that God wants to do some incredible supernatural things in our life. I think of Brad, and I think of Nancy over here. She had to rebuke me many, many times. I know that makes a lot of you happy that, well, man, you didn't rebuke him enough, Nancy. And I'm kidding you, she didn't rebuke me that much. But she taught me about prayer, and she talked to me about walking, and I understand perseverance and long-suffering. because of a somebody like Nancy Lynch. You see, God wants to teach us a message about honor that truly does transform cities. So I want to take you back. Think of all the people who invested and imparted divine seeds in your life. Paul says this in Corinthians, some plant, some water, and then God gives the increase. And I really, from your heart of hearts right now, I want you to just take 30 seconds to honor those people. And would you start every day looking to honor those people that invested in you? You can close your eyes. I really want us to take 30 seconds. I honor my dad who died of a heart attack 27 years ago. You talk about a man who taught me about unconditional love. In the midst of my drugs and alcohol, he loved me unconditionally. You're here today sitting in a chair because somebody loved you. You're sitting in this chair today because God gave you the divine seed of grace that would even make you turn from sin to turn to Him. Ponder upon those people a little bit more and thank the Lord for putting them into your life. We so easily, and I encourage you to do that every day, to just meditate and ponder upon the goodness of God. Now, as you have been given those from other people, the Bible says you freely receive, you freely give. Your job is to give away those very treasures to people. You see, I believe that we've trained the church to just sit on the sideline by the way we've done church. A church plant, one of the greatest things it can do, it can activate gifts within each and every one of us. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Peter 4 real quick. And as you're turning, it's really amazing. I got an early morning text message from Leslie Smithwick. She says, man, I've had a wild dream. It's a great dream. It's from 1 Peter 4, 7 through 19. I text her back, says, it's a great word. God's having me preach on this very passage today. So I want to tell you, when intercessors and prophetic people start texting me and telling me what I'm going to preach on, God's got something special for each and every one of us. And I really want us all to live like that, to where we're wanting to hear what God is saying and doing, and God gave her a dream to start sharing with her. So if I don't hit on God's notes all the way, Leslie, just stand up and just preach it forth. So it says this in 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I'm just going to tell you quickly what that word gift actually means. Again, I shared with you a couple of weeks ago to really dig deep to the very meanings and treasures that's within the word. It's actually where we get the word charisma from. And it means joy, cheerfulness, delight. Charis is a grace. It's a goodwill. It's undeserved favor. See, God, when we were in our mother's womb, when that seed in the natural, if you will, caused us to conceive in our mother's womb, the Holy Spirit was putting gifts within each and every one of us as we were in our mother's womb. It's undeserved favor. So you can't think that you ever did anything. You didn't pray enough. You didn't fast enough. You didn't gain this gift. It was just supernaturally given to you. And if we'll get that revelation, we know that when we mess up, all we got to do is repent quickly, because God's not going to take that gift from us. He's a good daddy. It means that it's a gift of grace, a free gift, a divine, I love this, divine gratuity. Divine gratuity. Spiritual endowment. Miraculous faculty. All of this, that word gift, it says in the scripture, 1 Peter, we have a gift. We've all been given gifts so that the manifest presence of God, boom, so the manifest presence of God can come forth. So in all that, I want to just paint a picture here so that you, and then we're going to pray over people that we would all get a revelation of the gift that's been put within us. I may be the main visionary of this house, but some of you will have the gift and the grace to bring forth the fullness of God that I never could. Come on, you really need to get this. I may have had to be the big visionary in this of getting the beginnings in Cambodia, but I look at Chris Parrott. He's our leader in evangelism, where God gave me these seven pillars of why Hope Fellowship exists. I will never be able to bring forth the fullness of evangelism without Chris, without Wendy Kay, without Jennifer, who's a steroid, an evangelist on steroids. I love making fun of that and saying that, but she really is. She hates it when I do that. That if you, until you start liking it, I'm going to keep doing it. But you know, all of that, God gave me the vision, but it'll never come forth in a hundredfold increase without the ones that gift is in. When I go to somebody and ask them to be part of the prayer and altar team, oh my gosh, no, I'm scared to pray. But man, when I hear her pray in private and everything, she's an incredible woman of God. And we just need to be pulled along. And let me tell you, some of you mature men and women of God, it's time to get healed up and whole and to be spiritual moms and dads and call sons and daughters forward. To go, no, this is who you really are. I see the gift and grace in you. Amen? It says in Ephesians 4 that my role and other people's role that stands here on Sunday morning, that does classes that we will be doing, our job is to equip you as a son and daughter of the King to be about the work of ministry. And that's not in a church building. That's being the church in our families. That's being the church, the son and daughter of the King in our workplace. That's about being Him as I walk around my neighborhood. I have the authority. God's put me in the city of Carrollton to pray over my neighbors. He's made myself, and Pastor Tim was the one who got me involved in this 10 or 11 years ago to be a volunteer chaplain for the Carrollton Police Department. There are parts of that thing that I love, and then there's parts that I hate, and when I have to do a death notification. When we stand on the front door, I mean at the front steps, and we knock on somebody's door to tell a mother and a father that their 19-year-old kid has committed suicide, or all of those different things, but I serve my city because in that place of ashes, the very songs that we sing, it's a time that truly the beauty of God could come forth out of those ashes. Are you serving your city, or are you a navel gazer? And please hear me. We all have issues, and we all need to be getting in classes. I'm going to get to that to get set free so that we can be as pure sound for the Lord as we can be. So our role as leaders in this house is to help you, to equip you, to be about the Father's business, just as Christ said. It says in Matthew 28:18-20, and I encourage you to look at these scriptures. It says that Jesus talked about discipleship. He's going to teach that we're to go forth and make disciples to all nations. And God wants us to be a disciples of who He is in the very image of Christ. And I'm going to go through some of the things that we're going to be getting started this coming year. But I want to talk about the seven pillars that exist. Starting next Sunday, now that we're through at the holidays, we'll definitely have a bulletin so that you can see it. And I encourage you to keep one of these bulletins. You put it in the Bible because if you're a member of Hope Fellowship of North Texas, you need to be crying out for the pillar of prayer to really be alive in this house. I'm going to give you a brief little scenery of how I see the year going. Every summer, as of right now, we're going to talk about the seven pillars. But I'm going to keep bringing it back to us. These are the reasons we exist. This is the DNA of heaven that God wants to put in this house. When I think of Mike Bickle's ministry in Kansas City International House of Prayer, they have a culture of prayer and the prophetic there. When you think of them, that's the culture there. When I think of Bill Johnson, I think of miracles and healings. That's a culture there. This bulletin, you'll start getting a revelation. It's going to be the culture, part of the kingdom of why Hope Fellowship of North Texas exists. We're going to be existing different than Sojourn Church or existing different of other churches of North Church right up here. This is the reason we exist, and we need to be praying these things forward. I was thinking this morning about prayer of heaven to earth. All of a sudden, God started speaking to me and showing me about prayers, also earth to heaven. Great story is Cornelius in Acts 10. Read it later. Great, great story. An angel shows up in his living room one day, scares him to death. I think if an angel showed up in my living room on the way home today, it would scare me to death also. But it shows up, and this angel says something that ought to stir us in our prayer and in our giving. He says, Cornelius, your prayers and giving have come up before the Lord. In fact, it's made a monument in heaven. That's actually what the wording means. It's made a memorial, a monument. It painted a picture, if you will, put it in our terms. In other words, the way that Cornelius lived his life on earth, it put a beautiful picture in heaven of the way he was living his life in the area of prayer and in the area of giving. It caught the Father's heart. The way we live our life on earth can catch the Father's heart in our prayer and giving. From earth to heaven, from heaven to earth. Cornelius was the door, the gate. Remember I taught on that a couple of weeks ago. A gate is a portal, an opening where God comes in. Cornelius was a gate. He was a vessel that was willing to say yes to God when maybe other Gentiles wouldn't. Up to that point, the message, the kingdom had only been for the Jews. But Cornelius was the gate that opened the door for Christ to come into the Gentiles. You and I, remember I was talking about a while ago, those people that have planted divine seeds? For you and I, it was Cornelius. He was the first Gentile that said yes to the Lord in the way he lived his life. You and I, 2,000 years later, are the fruits of the way Cornelius prayed and gave. Can I tell you, 2,000 years from now, you may not be written in the Bible, but you will be part of somebody's history of saying yes to the Lord. Come on, come on. That ought to get us up where we're excited to live instead of living a bored life that if the Lord tarries on coming 2,000 years when I'm playing the great golf courses in heaven, amen, come on, he's going to have some of those green pastures up there. There's going to be somebody on earth that's going to be the fruit of Mike saying yes 2,000 years earlier. If we'll get a revelation of this, we'll live different and we'll live with a purpose and we'll live with a passion. Cornelius was a man just like the men are in this house and was a person just like the women. He just said yes to God. And he was a gate that opened up the message of God to all Gentiles. Church, let me tell you what, if that doesn't get us excited to live wholeheartedly to the Lord. Amen? So that's a pretty good pillar to put in prayer. I won't go through all of these, but the others of why we exist is the Word. We need to be people of the Word because it's the Word of God that sets us free. If this is the only Word you get on Sunday morning, let me tell you what, you're going to live a real pitiful Christian life, and you'll live in a lot of bondage. It's the Word of God and the Word that you have a revelation of that sets you free. Serving. And in this, remember I said we've all been given a grace, a gift. Let me tell you what, when you get around somebody like Nancy who understands prayer, you ought to have her lay hands on you. Because what's really cool, these gifts, these grace, they're transferable. God wants them to cross-pollinate. When you hear Nancy pray or you hear Gwen pray, if you want your prayer life to change, you ought to go ask them to lay hands on you. You want evangelism? You ought to go ask Jennifer and Wendy Kay and Chris to lay hands on you. You see, if there's a shortage in your life of the kingdom of God, I encourage you to humble yourself and go honor that gift and grace that you don't have. Remember what I shared when I was in Baltimore? And Bill Johnson shares something so precious that for 37 years of his and his wife's marriage, that 30 years they had struggled financially. And one day in the church service, God speaks to him about humbling himself. It wasn't about having the next great speaker in that would speak on finances, but it was about humbling himself, honoring that grace of a family in the church, and to go and ask him to pray for him. He said the next 7 years have been incredible blessings financially because he honored the grace and the gift that he saw in that couple. Many times our breakthroughs don't happen because we're too prideful and will not humble ourselves. When Bill Johnson shared that, God spoke immediately to me that there were two couples that I was to have pray over my life. Within 22 days, we've seen incredible miracles of the Lord, not only for us personally, but for this house. And I believe it's just for the fact, I'm not the smartest man on the face of the earth, but I know when I hear the message of the kingdom. And let me tell you what will qualify you for a breakthrough. Say yes. Be obedient. And I said yes in Baltimore at that conference. We came back, humbled ourselves, and honored these two couples. And we are receiving breakthrough in that. You want serving? I can't encourage you to have the people from Juarez pray over you. They understand serving like I've never seen people. And most people in third world countries of the kingdom understand serving. When I try to bless Aaron with some money of all the work he's done up here, he says, "Why? It's the church. It's God. I'm just serving." I'm going, "Brother, take some money and go take your wife out on a date." But they see it as kingdom serving. It's a gift. It's a grace. Your breakthrough will come as you humble yourself and honor those of the gift and grace that you don't have, that somebody else has. That's the reason it's a body and it takes an army to release the kingdom of God, the army of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Come on, this is a pretty good message. Huh? Come on. The heirs, the honor, evangelism, team, and all of those things. Team is a key part of the very passage I read out of 1 Peter 4:10. We've all been given a gift, a divine seed, to see the kingdom of God made manifest on earth. So in that, it's New Year's. We all do New Year's resolutions spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. Man, I'm going to eat better. I'm going to drink more water. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to do all this. And by January 15th at best, and I'm probably being 5 days gracious, we've already thrown all of that out. We're using the exercise equipment we spent $700, I think, on an exercise equipment. I think there was coat hangers that hung on it more than we ever walked around on a thing before. But that's what we'll do. We get very motivated in the natural. But can I tell you, there is a part of the kingdom of God that's about discipline that we need to embrace. What does it say about insanity? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. I want you to think back to the last 2 years of your life. Come on, stay with me. The last 2 years of your life, you've come around this time of year. You're going to make these changes in your life. But yet now 2 years, you're still the same way in those areas. I believe it's the breath of God that even caused us to even want to change. But you see, we don't preach this enough in church. It is discipline and it is suffering. And if you really want those changes in your life, not only are we going to have a prayer line, that impartation, but tomorrow when that person isn't there to pray for you to get up and pray and encounter the Lord, you're going to have to crucify your flesh. If you really want change, We have in the charismatic church made it to where the prayer line is going to fix everything. Lord, have mercy and forgive us. I want to say it again because only two of you gave me a little come on with it. It is part of the reason the American church is so weak is that we've made it about a prayer line, and yes, there's that impartation of grace, but there's the discipline later today and the discipline 7 days a week, 24/7, to walk it out. Come on with it. As I just had another birthday in December, I realized at the end of the day, everything is about relationships. The way I handle my finances either blesses my wife and I, our children, and so forth. It's about relationships. And so I want to talk briefly about the discipleship classes we're going to start having this month and the things we're going to start doing. The first 4 months was just trying to get a building and trying to get settled, and now that's happened. Praise the Lord. Hopefully we won't have any more floods like we did last Sunday morning when I walked in here at 6 o'clock. But it's been an adventure over these 4 months. But now it's time to start building upon that foundation that's been laid. Again, you can find that scripture in 1 Corinthians 3. It says that we all get to lay a foundation. Here's the key. You get to determine what products you're going to use to build it. Come on, I like this lady. You need to start coming. I mean, I know you got that other church you go to, but I like her. She preaches back to me here. We all have a foundation, and it's Jesus Christ. Your decision is whether you're going to build it with gold, silver, or precious jewels. And that discipline that I just talked about will produce gold, will produce silver with the Spirit of God blowing upon it. Or we can continue to build on it like many of us have in the American church with hay, wood, and straw. It goes on to talk about when that final day of judgment happens, the fire happens, and yeah, you'll be saved, but if you built with hay, wood, and straw, it will be burned up. Can I tell you, I look at the United States today with the shaking of economy, and many of us are burning up because we've been building with hay, wood, and straw. I don't want to wait for that final day of judgment. I want us to determine right now today, what have I been building with in my marriage? Do I honor and love my spouse to the point that it is costing me something of love, forgiveness, all of those things? Is it gold or is it hay? When the fight comes and a disagreement comes, I don't care how great your marriage is, a disagreement will come. Usually it's always Celia's fault. Just kidding. That was with hay. I gave that illustration right there. That was with hay. It's with gold that you love and forgive and you call one another on. Everything's about relationships. At the end of my life, it will be about how I had the relationship with Him and the relationships that God put me in. So those discipleship classes we're going to start, Wendy Kay is going to bless me with doing 90% of the teaching and bailing me out. Just kidding, we'll do 50-50, maybe 60-40 you. But it's going to be the school of the prophetic where we're going to train and teach about how to hear the Lord and then go treasure hunt. Last week I talked about the wows of God, of how the Lord gave me that word that the 2010 and this whole decade was going to be the wows of the Lord, that He was going to capture our heart once again with manifesting His presence and power. We started seeing some of that in 2010. Well, the school of the prophetic is going to teach us how to hear God and go give Him away. So much we've built about the prophetic, it's about me, 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 instead of going out and treasure hunting, if you will. Because the Bible says that within every earthen vessel, there's been a treasure, there's been a gift. That woman at the well in John 4, she had the treasure of an evangelist within her. But there was a lot of ashes there of 5 failed marriages and living with the dude at the time. Jesus was the treasure hunter, and He walks up to the lady And he doesn't see the ash, but he sees the treasure. So many of us, if we're layered in religion, we'll see the ash and judge the ash instead of seeing the treasure. Because of the way that Christ, again, the Son of God, he saw the treasure and called her into her destiny. That's what this class is going to be about. It's about relationship with the Lord, with his creation. Amen? We're going to start a class on young marrieds. And so, because we want to teach and train young married couples to not have to walk through the war wounds, if you will, like some of us that have been married for a while, to learn how to love and to forgive, to learn how to walk in honor and love and respect. Amen. We're going to do financial peace. Remember what's insanity? Doing things the same way and expecting different results. We're going to be doing Dave Ramsey's on financial peace. It costs $100. I'm going to ask that you pay that. We don't get to keep a single penny of it. It's so that you can have all of his material. If you cannot afford $100 right now, I want you to come talk to me. We're going to work out a payment plan. Because there's something about you needing to sow in that if you want poverty broken out of your life. We just keep giving and giving, and there's no cost to you. That's the discipline. I will work out a payment plan of $10 a month. But it is important if you want to change in your life and to have poverty broken off of your life, it's a class that you need to go to. I believe God has given something to Dave Ramsey. I don't agree with everything that he says, and he can say it pretty hardcore. I'm a hardcore type of person. I like that. Sometimes I need that hit upon the head to really wake me up. But it's a great class, and you'll learn a lot about it. Amen? You'll learn about giving to the Lord and giving way more than 10%. We're going to have classes on marriage for some of us older ones that are not the young married type. And then parenting classes. I want you to hear what I'm going to say. For some of us in here, we're allowing the kids to rule the home. It's not, amen, come on. It's time to change that. The media will tell you that you're not supposed to spank your child. Let me tell you, the Bible says that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. We're going to teach you, amen, come on. We're going to help teach you and train you. I'm not talking to anybody in here, so you don't have to shout out or anything. I appreciate your honesty, though, Gretchen. But we want to help teach you and train you of to discipline them out of love. I did beat out of anger sometimes. Lord, forgive me, but I learned through the process. It's time to do things according to the Word. It's one of the reasons this house exists. It's a pillar, the Word. We're going to start a prophetic business council. I see these gifts and grace on these men and women. And please hear me. When I shared about my own personal finances and the breakthroughs we're having, I'll pray over you, but you really want to go to those that have that gift and grace. You know what I'm saying? I do now because I got a measure of it. And I'm going to grow in stewarding and walking that out. But we're going to put a business prophetic council together where once a month, if you need prayer over your business, you need prayer over your employment, you're going to come to these men and women of God. They're going to prophesy over you, they're going to pray over you, and they're going to speak truth to you. Because again, we want to be disciples that truly are made in the image of Christ. I think he did everything with excellence when he worked for his earthly father, if you will, Joseph, in the area of carpentry. It truly is time to be men and women of God of excellence in every area of society. There was a time in Acts 5:13 that it says that the world esteemed the church highly. Can I tell you, we don't live in that time right now because we've been lacking so much, lacking integrity and the ways of excellence. It's time to renew that once again to where the world out there would esteem the church because of our relationship with the bridegroom. Come on, amen. We need to see that happen again. So we'll be starting that up either in January or February. I've got to have a few meetings and we need to talk through the logistics. They told me they would be here today. Apparently something came up, but the Mazdens, 3 months ago, the Lord just spoke to me to start praying about asking them to be the youth pastors of our four or five ladies who are youth age. And as we prayed about it, we really wanted Becky, but we had to take David because they were married. Just kidding. I love them both, and I see the incredible gifts on both of them. They just had a baby just December the 8th. So we want to be sensitive of how we help them walk out of the family and pastoring and caring for the youth of this house. One thing that I learned at Sojourn through Tim and others, if you put a person, as you pray for it, you don't want to just be putting people there. But as you pray for it and you put people in the right place, you have a vision without a prophetic utterance, Proverbs 29:18. Without a prophetic utterance, the people perish. You put people at the gate, God will cause resources to come in. I believe there will be families coming here with youth age because we, David and Becky, are going to start pastoring and caring for the youth of this house. It may only be four or five right now, but I'm telling you, it'll take off. And the reason I share, this is big picture for this whole year. You need to start praying for the Mazdens in a whole nother way. That they would have wisdom and life experience beyond their years. They're 27, basically. That's a good young age. But they need understanding in the ways of the things of the Spirit. They are open to spiritual moms and dads helping them walk this out. But I'm telling you, you need to start praying for the Mazdens. Great couple, great family. Love them to death. Again, David just makes me laugh, too. I love having him around as he makes me laugh. One of the things we're going to start, too, is once a month prophetic ministry. I believe that Jesus walked in the revelatory gifts, of course, had words of knowledge that set inner healing issues free, as well as the anointing of praying for people for physical healings. Wendy Kay and Jennifer and some others are going to help us start that. We probably won't get started that until February. But we want to do that once a month on Saturday, be a couple of hours, that if you need prayer of anything or you want to bring your neighbors in for any of that, it's going to be available. And there'll be other people that'll be part of that. While I was in Cambodia also, the Lord spoke to me. He says, I want you to do an outreach on Sunday. I want you to send some people out on Sunday morning. I'm not worried about big numbers. God wants to bless us with a church of 500 or other things down the road, and I believe that will happen. But on Sunday morning, I'm not that concerned to have every seat filled. It'll happen as we do our part. But on the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, and we're hoping to get it started 2 weeks from today. If not, it'll be 4 weeks from today. Pastor Chris, I'll call him Pastor Chris Parrott here, will take two or three people out, and we're going to start our outreach to Capel. As I was in Cambodia, the Lord just started speaking to me about how there was on many a Sunday mornings after I did my drugs and alcohol on Saturday, I'd laid on Sunday morning and hated my life. Maybe it might be the greatest time for somebody to knock on a door at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Go, man, we're from a little church up here, North Texas, Hope Fellowship of North Texas. Is there anything we can pray for you about? And I think that the Sunday morning outreach will be a major home run in the things of the kingdom. So if you want to be part of that, I encourage you to sign up, and we will be sending out, like I said, two, three, or four on a Sunday morning, the way Jesus did. He sent them out by twos. We're just going to knock on door. We're not going to pass out anything about Hope Fellowship. We're just going to say we're from a church. And do you have any prayer needs? Come on, man. That gets me excited. Last but not least are two more things real quickly. You found the missions deal on there. We really want to continue to be giving to Juarez and Cambodia. I see him shaking his head. Armando and Karen, will you stand up real quickly? These are two that are, everybody give them a round of applause. Armando has been my dentist for probably the last 5 years. He is a dentist there in the ministry. He's also the son-in-law of the founder of the ministry there. But he's also a great pastor and a great friend. If you really want to know about love, if you really want to know about care and serving, like I shared earlier, I encourage you to get those two, as well as Aaron and Christina, to lay hands on you but I'll share about Aaron and Christina in a moment. But we want to keep serving them. There's 100-plus kids there in the home. They have a school, definitely struggling financially, because when the American church struggles, one of the first things that we shut off is our giving into the foreign countries, if you will. So we want to keep blessing Emmanuel Ministries, as well as Cambodia. As I've thought about my time there, and Celia's been there, as well as I know Nicole Jones has, who's part of this house. She's just not here this morning. But we want to keep blessing these ministries. The more we give to the poor and the hurting, God promises in His Word He'll repay. Now, I love that you will pay me something, but I love the fact that God promises He will repay. He will come through in those situations. So we need you to take this, pray about it over the next couple of weeks, but then turn that back in to let us know how much you can give. We'll start doing that in November, October time, so that we know at the beginning of the year, but considering we were on the fly with so much of this stuff, just a little bit late. And last but not least for this week, when I was in Cambodia also, the Lord started speaking to me. He says, I want you to do a Spanish church service and an Asian church service, as well as ours. Amen. Come on. And in August, Aaron and Christina, will you stand up? Punch her, Karen. I met Aaron when he was 14 years old at the orphanage of Emmanuel Ministries. That's right, I've known him for 16 years. I've seen him grow as a man of God. Go about 18, he decided to get rebellious and leave for a couple of years, but we kept after him and he came back. He's been faithful serving the ministry there now for 10 years. But in August, I asked him and Christina to start praying as they came through town. Start praying about, would they come and join us? I stole him from you, Emmanuel Ministries. Just kidding. But I've just felt like the Lord highlighted them because, like Paul says, I've never found anybody as faithful as my son Timothy. You see, he's a spiritual son who I've seen faithful for the 16 years I've known his life. Spiritual moms and dads, you need to start looking for your spiritual sons and daughters and to pour into their life. And as I've watched his life just continue to grow to be a man of God, in August I asked him to pray about coming and helping us start a Spanish church service. Might be on a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, not sure. But as they prayed, they felt like in October they were to come. We are in the process of getting a religious visa for him. We're meeting with lawyers, going through all the immigration stuff. The reason you go, well, why don't you just get somebody who's already? Because he's a son. I know his life. And he's a guy I'd love to put in charge of that. So I'd love you to be praying for them. That's another prayer request and a deal to be praying for them, that all their paperwork comes through and that Spanish church service that the Lord spoke to me in Cambodia would come forth. Amen? Amen. I know I've done a lot. There's a few more I'd love to do, but we'll just add on those. Again, what I just shared with you will help affect a region. It'll help us think globally. It'll help us affect the globe that God's called this house to. Amen?